Certainly thankful for your presence here tonight. And if you happen to be visiting with us, thank you very much for blessing us with your presence. And we certainly always hope and pray that our time together will be meaningful and helpful for all of us. We have been studying Romans 12 on Sunday nights, and we've had some considerable breaks in our study here. But in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we are called upon to be living sacrifices. Paul appeals to them, and the basis of that appeal was the wonderful mercies of God. And the result of that appeal is that we be living sacrifices, that we present acceptable worship to God. Then in verses 3 through 8, we entitled One for All for One. And Paul reminded us that there is one body with many members. We have different gifts, different talents, but we're to use those gifts and those talents in order to strengthen and upbuild the body of Christ. Tonight we come to verses 9 through 13. And they contain 12 power-packed principles for living a dynamic Christian life. So let's read Romans 12, beginning at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. So Christianity is not only something we believe, it is something we do. Christianity is not just talking, it is walking. It's not just need, but deed. Not just profession, but performance. Not only attitudes, but actions. And these 12 principles here in verses 9 through 13, I believe can be reduced to 9 things. And I'd like for us to explore those here tonight. Number one, authentic love. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. Authentic love is in the process of building bridges, of spanning chasms, of reaching, of risking, of demonstrating, of expressing, showing genuine interest. Authentic love is the heartbeat of every life, every home, every church, every relationship. Let's consider 4 things that are true about authentic love. Number one, authentic love is essential, not optional. No one can live within the will of God and live a life pleasing to God without authentic, sincere, genuine love. But authentic love is more than a feeling. It is a demonstration. Now, I'm not suggesting that it is not a feeling. Feelings, of course, are involved, but it is much more. It is action, it's involvement, it's expression, demonstration. It's an overt thing. But then authentic love is a magnet that pulls people together. It brings people together. It is the cement, the glue that holds us together as a family of God. And then I would suggest that authentic love is a long-term investment. It's not a quick return love. Authentic love has staying power. It does not bail out when the seas get stormy, but it is resilient. And then Paul talks about some positives and negatives. He says in the second part of verse 9, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Here is a call for discernment. Both verbs in this verse are very strong, abhor and cling. Abhor expresses an aversion and an abhorrence and even a loathing. while cling expresses a sticking or bonding as if with glue. Paul put it simply in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. Number three is relationships. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Paul brings together in this, in the first part of the verse, two family words, be devoted and brotherly love. Both words were applied originally to blood relationships in the human family, and Paul here applies them to the kind of devotion and love which unite the members of the family of God. The second one other exhortation in the same verse is to give preference to one another in honor. Love in the Christian family is to express itself in mutual honor as well as mutual love. We are to accord to each other the highest possible honor. Number four, enthusiasm. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit. As Christians, we will face opposition. There will be days of discouragement, and Paul admonishes us to maintain our spiritual zeal and fervor. When life becomes difficult, we must not permit our zeal to grow cold. Not lagging behind in diligence, but fervent in spirit. And then there is servanthood, serving the Lord. One of the great symbols of the Christian faith is the towel of service. Jesus certainly demonstrated that in John chapter 13 when he took up the towel and he washed the feet of those disciples. And he said, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That I have given you an example that as I have done to you, this is how you should respond to one another. And so I believe the New Testament certainly emphasizes that we are first and foremost servants. And because Jesus, it was said of him, he did not come so much to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Number six is hope and perseverance. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Hope, our confident expectation of the Lord's return and the glory to follow. Ours, of course, is a living hope based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I believe that expectation motivates us to persevere in times of tribulation. And so I think we can see these two working together, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Number seven is prayer, devoted to prayer. The verb here means to persist or continue in prayer. A diligent prayer life is one of the best ways to handle the challenges and difficulties of life. Devoted to prayer. That's something that Paul seemed to emphasize in a number of his epistles. Pray constantly. Pray without ceasing. Be devoted to prayer. And I do sincerely believe that that is one of the best ways that will help us to handle and deal with the challenges and difficulties that often come into our lives. And then Paul mentions benevolence, contributing to the needs of the saints. The word used here is koinonia, which means sharing in people's needs and sufferings, and then sharing our resources with them. And then hospitality. Paul concludes his list by saying practicing hospitality. The word for hospitality originally meant love of strangers. Hospitality was especially important in these days, since inns were few and far between, and those that existed were often unsafe or unsavory places. And so when Paul challenged the early Christians, practice hospitality, that was a very important trait that those Christians needed to participate in and to try to practice. But it seems to me that this is a comprehensive picture of Christian love. Love is sincere. Love is discerning. Love is intent on building strong relationships. It is enthusiastic. It is patient. It is both generous and hospitable. To sum up, the Christian life is the life of truth. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. It's a life of purity. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. It's a life of love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. It's a life of enthusiasm. Not lagging behind in diligence, but fervent in the Spirit. So we're reminded of those statements that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. So when you're serving, you remember that you are serving the Lord, and then we serve that Lord with enthusiasm, with sincere zeal. And then it's a life of service. Serving the Lord. It's a life of optimism. Rejoicing in hope. It's a life of patience. Persevering in tribulation, it's a life of prayer. Paul encourages us to be devoted to prayer. It's a life of generosity, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. 12 power-packed principles that Paul gives us here, right there in the middle of Romans chapter 12. So, we're called to be living sacrifices there in those opening verses. And the appeal of Paul is, I urge you, I implore you, I beg you, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then Paul reminds us that we all are a part of the body of Christ. One body, many members, various gifts, but everyone exercising his or her gifts to the growth of the body in love. And then what follows are these 9 principles or 9 things that I summarize, these 12 power-packed principles of living the Christian life. Now, Paul is going to conclude this chapter about in terms of how we can relate to one another and leaving the vengeance, leaving the wrath to God, trying our best to live at peace with one another. I think one of those powerful verses that we'll be looking at next Sunday night is when he says, as much as it depends upon you, Be at peace with all people. That's a very relevant principle for today, as much as it depends upon you. Now, there may be times when it's difficult to maintain that peaceful relationship because we don't always control how other people are going to respond. But again, Paul is reminding us, as much as it depends upon you, and I think it depends upon each one of us to try our very best to apply these principles in our everyday lives. We're going to sing our song of encouragement, and if you're here tonight and need to respond to the gospel of Christ through faith, repentance, baptism, we want to encourage you to take that step tonight. If you need to come and have us pray with you about something, we're here to pray with you because we are all members of the body of Christ. We're in this together. We're here to help, support, to encourage, to build up one another, to pray for one another, to be there for one another. Because in one sense, we all are a bunch of fellow strugglers. We all have our struggles. You have yours, I have mine. But we're in this together. And sometimes it just may mean a great deal for one to come and say, I just need my church family to lift me up in prayer. And if we can do that for you tonight, we would invite you to come as we stand together and sing.